It was definitely a blessing to be able to be part of the team that went over there. Pastor was talking about how the money that was given as the birthday offering for Jesus, and I even think of many of you that gave, quite frankly, your junk out of your house and brought it over when we did the fundraiser where the teens did a yard sale, and we all went through and we picked through stuff that most of us hadn't used in years or just was laying around the house. And $1,600 of the $4,600 raised during that yard sale went to this. And to translate that for you, when you see these pictures tonight, that's one entire night of not only getting people there, over 1,200 people, but feeding them, both spiritually and physically. And just to be able to see the power that how literally our trash, our junk, became God's treasure was such a powerful thing. You know, when we started getting ready for this over the last few months and a few weeks, it's been a challenge. It's been a battle. We've had some trials come up in our life, and we know that Pastor and his family have had their heart burden. And while they have God's peace about it, anytime your baby girl has any issues, it's alarming, it's concerning. My mother was having a major surgery the Monday we were gone. And I remember sitting with her that week before, and her looking me in the eye and said, if something happens, don't come home. This is more important. And it just kept fighting and fighting and fighting all the way down to the Friday before my oldest was sick, and we came home and I had to go get her at school. The teachers knew well enough she wasn't in a condition to drive, so they called us, and we went and got her. Got home, and I had a 4:30 conference call, and I was rushing to get on, and I just knocked my whole glass of water on my laptop and fried my laptop. All my sermons on there ready to take. Hadn't printed most of them out yet, and I'm scrambling, and I did everything you're not supposed to do. And I'll never forget my wife looking at me and saying, you know what? God's got something in store for this coming week. And as much as I wanted to be stressed out, it was that. And then we got on that plane, and everything went well on the plane. And, you know, anybody who's traveled on a plane knows that more than one hour on a plane ain't comfortable. 7 hours can be miserable. But the Lord was good to us, even from the very start. These guys got comfortable seats next to each other, and I got a whole empty row to myself. It was great. So we got a nice flight over, and even on the flight going into Chennai, we had a good flight there, and the Lord really blessed with room. Coming back, we were exhausted, both legs, both 9-hour legs. We had empty seats next to us. That's unheard of on an international flight. It's unheard of on a domestic flight, but the Lord just really blessed. But I'd really like to say this. The Lord got a hold of me in our first layover and just calm my soul about things. Because we had the opportunity, we wanted to meet up with Levi and Brittany. We had just had the opportunity to see them here, and we had a 7-hour layover in London. So we called them, and unfortunately, they were tied up. But God had a plan for that. So at the last moment, we started thinking and said, you know, it sure would be nice to see Derek Moreland. And those of you that were with us in Oxford in 2014 know Pastor Moreland, know what was going on there. And what God did was allow us to see the fruit that has come from the labors that went on in 2014. In 2014, we reported back to you as a church and explained to you all the John Romans that were given out and all this. And we were... Oxford Baptist Chapel was meeting in a small chapel, and they were nowhere near capacity. They have now exceeded capacity. They're having to rent a much bigger conference hall, and they're now looking at a new church that they're praying over that they'll hopefully be able to get if it's the Lord's will. Just pouring over it. Many of you, especially you men that are here on Saturday morning, have heard me request prayer for Tommy. Tommy was an Irish or is an Irish traveler. And over there, and he was one to the Lord there in Oxford Baptist Chapel. He is now their first deacon as they've grown, serving the Lord We've prayed for his daughter, Mary Murphy, here many times. And while Mary hasn't got saved yet, her daughter and son-in-law both have been saved. Those of you that were in Oxford saw a little girl, Tommy's granddaughter, take up with our teenagers and stay after church one Saturday or one Sunday. Stay all the way till the evening service and hang out with our teenagers. I think Anna Grace Carrick took her under her wing and they went to the park and just had a good time with her. Then pastor came in that Sunday night and preached and that little girl got saved. Just a few weeks ago, she followed the Lord in believer's baptism. You prayed about that then, and God gave you fruit for that. You teenagers went over there, and whether you were in Brighton or whether you were in Birmingham or whether you were in Oxford, all of that is fruit to your account. And the Lord just encouraged us right away by talking to Brother Derek, and then we went on over and from the get-go. Right away, we hit the ground running. You know, we had some troubles, some trials as we met with immigration, and that was interesting, going into a country that isn't as friendly to Americans as many of the countries I've traveled in before. And I'll never forget sitting there talking to that immigration officer, and all of a sudden in my pocket it started vibrating. I didn't dare bring my cell phone out, but later on I looked at it and it was my baby girl texting me saying, "Daddy, I'm praying for you right now. Praying for you." Many times over the weeks ahead, and then I saw, even while we were there, I saw a post on Facebook saying, "I'm praying for you, praying for you." And we needed that prayer. Saw that prayer every day coming in, just the power of that, of what was going on. My mom came through surgery well. She's recovering. I thank you for those prayers. We saw good things happen while we were there. We saw many people come in over to, I think the highest night was probably around 1,500 people. 70 to 80 people a night walking the aisle to get saved. And, you know, I never dismiss anyone walking the aisle. But when someone walks an aisle in a country that hates an almighty and powerful real God, they are doing something. They're not doing that for show. They're not doing that for anybody else. But they're doing it because God Almighty spoke into their heart. And we've seen that. Just people who have coming in, you know, worshiping idols. The very first night we were there, people coming up to us, asking us to do a blessing over them because they thought we had some kind of miraculous power. There's no power we had. It was all in Jesus Christ. And all they needed was the very, very simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And we saw that. In the video later, you're going to see a picture of a man and two small children. I don't know how far it is in the video, but this man was deaf. And for the first couple of days, he came up to me every day and just smiled at me. And he would say something. I had no idea what he was saying. But then it dawned on him that I didn't even know if he spoke English. Well, he didn't speak English, but knew English. And it dawned on him that he could write. And he wrote me a beautiful note and brought it in on Saturday morning to tell us how he had been praying for us for weeks and how he was praying for us. This man couldn't hear a word we were saying, but he had been praying for us. And he had been praying for those lost people. And we've seen God deliver over and over again. The Lord just was really, really good the entire time we were there. He gave us absolutely gorgeous weather. My wife's been making fun of me because I've absolutely froze since we've got back. I can't get warm for nothing. It's warm up here. But we've not been able to get warm because it was over 90 degrees the whole time. It rained somewhere around us. And if it would have rained where we were, we would have been meeting in a big mud pit because we were out on a dirt soccer field. But the Lord just held the rain off all around us. We knew it was raining somewhere because it was humid. But it was just absolutely gorgeous weather in the evening for people to be able to come in. In closing, I'll tell you a couple things that really challenged me. One, I will say we got the opportunity, and I've been friends with them now for a couple years, but never really had an opportunity to serve with him. But I had the opportunity to serve with Wes Mullins and his family. Wes, most of you know Steve and you know Levi, who's a missionary to England. But Wes, when he wanted to serve the Lord, he really prayed about it. And he knew that God wanted him to be a dentist. And he asked God, "Just show me how I can serve you." And now he's this is not his first trip to India, been over there multiple times. And to watch the blessing he was to the students, to the faculty, to all of the people around there, of how he could use his talent for the Lord was really, really powerful to me. The other thing I saw that really spoke to my heart is how people would just come together, and if they saw something needed to be done, they just did it. They looked for ways that God could use them, whether it was picking up the seats in the evening, whether it was cooking the meals, whatever it was, they just begged God to use them and thank the Lord for allowing them to be used. So I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your prayers. They've meant a lot. I also say this, it is good to have friendships. It's good to be able. My wife, we had our fire propane actually went out while we were there, and I was able to call. I love technology. Technology can be good, so I was able to text message with Brother Jamie, and Brother Jamie and his wife in the horrid snow that you guys had went over and took care of my wife and daughters where I didn't have to have a worry about it, and it was just nice to have that peace to know that I have friends. And brothers in Christ that'll take care of things. And many, many of you have said to me since we get back, we were praying for you. And I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was felt and it was needed. So thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you. Again, like Eugene has said, like Pastor said, it's such a privilege to go on this trip. And you go halfway around the world and honestly don't know what to expect. You can never fully prepare yourself. Yeah, you can pack and you can check things off of a list, but to fully prepare yourself for a trip is about impossible. As I was sitting back here, I was checking a lot of things off my list that I was planning to say that Eugene already said. So I'll probably be here for about a minute and then sit down. Just kidding. We want to give you just a little taste of India tonight. So here in just a minute, the ushers are going to come forward. We've got some plates of rice for everybody with some curry on top of it. Just kidding on that as well, okay? That is what they served at the meals each night, but just want to kind of let you see what we saw. And honestly, pictures and words don't do justice to what God did on this trip. Again, just very thankful for the privilege. Thankful for all those who gave to the garage sale, like Brother Radford said. It's amazing how things that just sit around their house can be a blessing halfway around the world. like you said, we had a few issues entering the country, but God knew what was best, and God taught us lessons through that and taught some other lessons through that. It's amazing seeing God's hand in every step of the trip. Like you said, just simply where we were sitting on the plains, God directed every single step of the way. And a theme that the college has there at South Indian Baptist Bible College is the gospel changes everything. That's their theme for this year. And I was thinking about that often throughout the week and as we got back, just thinking about how powerful the gospel is. Like Pastor said, you'd stand up and preach, and when you're preaching through an interpreter to a people who don't understand different things that we take for granted from day to day, you have to really simplify things. And again, that just shows that it's not about us, but it's about the power of God's word working in people's hearts. And we saw just that. We saw God's word being presented as simply as it possibly could, people receiving the word of God and accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. So it was exciting seeing all the souls that were saved. And here in just a few minutes, you'll see a video. You'll see some people who are doing personal work. You'll see people coming to Christ. You'll see people with their heads bowed and accepting Christ as a personal Savior. You'll see people walking around with plates of food. They don't have utensils to eat it with. They're just eating with their hands, and they're just so happy. They're so joyful. And you had a part in that. Not just through the garage sale, but through the Christmas offering and things. And I hope this would be a big encouragement to you. A number of things that Dr. Cherian shared with us, but one thing that we heard often, he said, I'd venture to say every day while we were there and multiple times a day, as he said, go forward. And that's exactly what that ministry is doing. They're going forward. They're training young men and young ladies for the ministry. But every single step they take, they're going forward. Just look at the facilities, and you see that a lot of facilities are unfinished on the top. Land in India is extremely expensive, so they try to build up as much as they possibly can. So a lot of the buildings that you see are beautiful inside and out, But on a lot of them, you see footers with more rebar just looking for that next level, looking to take that next step, looking to move forward. And I think God has truly blessed the ministry there just because of the vision that Dr. Cherian has in going forward. Again, you'll see some of that in a little bit. One thing that God really used to speak to my heart was actually two young men. I was teaching a Bible college class one day, and we were preaching at night, teaching during the day, and teaching children and doing all kinds of things, and it was such a great opportunity to minister in all these different ways. But I was teaching a Bible college class. This was a class of third-year students. The class was just jam-packed. I enjoyed teaching. That's probably my favorite class that I taught while I was there. But after the class, there was a young man that came up to me. His name is Leo, and he told me, he asked me this. He said, what do you think about doing a youth meeting while you're here? I said, that'd be great. I mean, that decision is not up to me. It's up to the administration. Make sure you clear it with them, and I'm all for it. And he said, we're thinking about tomorrow as long as they clear it. I said, okay, that's great. Let's see what we can do. He checked with the administration. He came back to me not but maybe 5 or 10 minutes later and said, hey, they've given us the go-ahead. What do we need to do? So we started putting together a schedule for the next day, which was Saturday. He and another guy, Leo and Gershon, jumped on Leo's motorcycle, went around to a couple different schools in the area, passing out flyers, inviting kids to come to this meeting, just like something that we'd do here, except not jumping on a motorcycle necessarily, but they're going around passing out flyers. Needless to say, through the efforts of these two young men, 125 teenagers came to this meeting, held in the chapel. 30 received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now here's the exciting thing. So many times we see a need, but we don't do anything about it. So many times we see a giant that needs conquered, but we kind of step back and say, well, someone else can do that. These two young men stood up to the plate. These two young men saw the need, and they took the assignment as their own. And God blessed them for that. Well, here's the thing. Those 30 young people that got saved, let's back up just a little bit. Nine of those teenagers were nine Hindu young men who actually left the meeting after it was finished. God was working on their heart when they were on their way home. They came back to the chapel, and they said, we want to know more about Jesus Christ. And Leo, who was leading this whole thing, had the privilege of leading those men to the Lord. I'm thankful that God is working, not just here, but all around this world. And thankful for those two young men who saw a need, and they did something about it. That was just a tremendous encouragement. In addition to working with the teenagers there, got to do a lot with the children. They've got a Christian school there, roughly about 500 kids, K through 12th grade. 98% of them are Hindu. They're using this school as a ministry. It's just right outside of the college campus. But had the privilege to teach several of the children, along with Wes and Laura and Anna and a couple girls from Crown College. Got to teach a lot of the children. It was such a blessing getting to know the children, hearing them sing. Dr. Cherian and his wife have started the Home of Hope. You've heard about that many times as he's been here. And hearing those children sing about the Lord. And these aren't just your average kids. These are children who have been deserted by their families. These are children who have been given up by their parents as babies. And Dr. Cherian and his wife have adopted them. Just a few brief stories. There's one young lady who is now serving in Dr. Cherian's home as far as helping clean and making food and things like that. Dr. Cherian received a call one day and said, hey, there's something crying in the dumpster. You need to come get it, whatever it is. Dr. Cherian said, well, you're there. Why don't you do something about it? He said, no, I'm not having any part in this. The gentleman said, you come and do something about this. So Dr. Cherian and his wife came, found this baby in a dumpster after they dug through the trash. That young lady is now 20-some years old, serving faithfully in this ministry, in this house, has received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. God has used that couple, Dr. Cherian and Mrs. Cherian, in a huge, huge way, just in the lives of these 25 individuals at the Home of Hope, let alone the hundreds of and thousands of people that they've impacted through the Bible College. One other story about the children. One young lady, her name is Joanna. She's 13 years old now. But Mrs. Cherian was driving down the road one day, and they said it's not uncommon for beggars, for poor folks to try to flag you down, to try to get things or to pawn different things off on you. And Mrs. Cherian pulled off the side of the road. She noticed it was kind of a different situation. She noticed there was a mother and father just sitting there on the side of the road, both of them crippled. They couldn't do anything. And there was a baby laying on a piece of cloth, piece of fabric in the hot sand there in India. And they asked Mrs. Cherry, and they said, please take our baby. It's not uncommon for people to sell their babies in India. They were willing to give up their child for sake of its health. And she wasn't sure. She didn't know exactly what to do. They prayed about it. God gave them peace about it. She took this baby home. Like I said, this young lady is now has received Jesus Christ as her Savior. She's 13 years old. She's living there at the Home of Hope. And God has shed light in many dark places in India through Dr. and Mrs. Cherry. And I'm thankful to be able to see that, to be able to have a part in that. And again, thank you so much for your prayers. Like Brother Radford said, we could honestly feel your prayers. We could see God answering prayers every single night, every single day. God did great and mighty things. So again, just want to thank you for that. And like you said, seeing people like Wes and Laura serving faithfully, using the talents that God has given them to reach souls for Christ, seeing Dr. Cherian's son, Sam Cherian, as well, doing the same thing, a very successful businessman who does business in about 30 different countries. God is using that young man, using his business knowledge to further the gospel. So think about that as a challenge for you. Let's all see what more we can do for Christ. Again, we've got a video here. It's about 14 minutes long. This is just a small portion. We've honestly got about 1,000 pictures. Could not pack all that into the time that we've been given. But we've got a few pictures, a few videos. A few of the videos, the sound quality is not the best, so kind of bear with me on that. But hope you enjoy the video.
I hope you'll ask him right now to speak to your heart. I want to share with you one verse from God's Word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. The Word of God says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
You saw a small glimpse of what happened over in India, and as you saw there at the end, 342 precious people made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We give him praise for all of that, glory for all of it. These pictures do not do it justice, but it just gives you a little glimpse of what took place here. These men have done a great job in sharing the burden and different things. I just want to add just a couple of things here, just a story about that takes me back to the last time I went to India. One of the interpreters, the one that leads the whole program, his name is Christopher. And there are few people on planet Earth that you can get around and know that God is on them. And this is one of those young men. It's interesting, the last time I was there, Dr. Tom Sexton was there. And I remember while Tom Sexton was preaching, Christopher was interpreting. And Dr. Cherin was sitting beside me. Christopher's still there. He led the evangelistic crusade this year. And he's the one that leads the invitation, draws the net. I mean, God's using him in a great, great way. And Dr. Cherin, I was asking him about him. And Dr. Cherin began to share the story with me about Christopher. He said that Christopher was a rebellious young man. He came to the school there, and Dr. Cherin led him to Christ when he was a teenager. But according to Dr. Cherin had enough of him, and he was getting ready to kick him out of school. And he said that young man fell down at his feet and begged him for one more chance. And he's leading the whole thing at this time, you see. And Dr. Cherin looked up at him and said, God is a God of second chances. And the fact of the matter is this, God wants to use all of us to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing that I want to share with you about this whole trip, and you don't need to turn to it, just let me turn to it, but it's found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, where it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In this meeting, what we saw firsthand was a body of believers that were sincerely striving together to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. There were buses that went out to pick the people up, but the people that came in, you understand, in India, as white men, we don't go outside the gate and start knocking on doors. You don't do that, okay? You may not make it home if you do that, you understand. But the area pastors, those faithful men of God in that area, were the ones who got the word out, inviting people to come. The buses were hired and sent out to pick them up. The students and the faculty was making the food. There were businessmen. Sam, which is Dr. Cherian's son, is a businessman. And what a businessman he is, with a heart for Jesus Christ. Dr. Cherian's family member, I think he said it's his cousin, is the leader of the food ministry over there. One of the humblest men, honestly, I think I've ever been around in my life. He walks with a limp. He takes care of all the food. And Dr. Cherian said he is a very wealthy, wealthy man. He has a lot of money. But you'd never know it, because he's given his life to serve Jesus Christ. Can I say this to you? Whatever you do for a living, everybody's called into full-time Christian service. See, we here in America have the mistaken idea that full-time Christian service is if you're a preacher or a missionary. That's not true. Full-time Christian service is giving your life to win people to Jesus Christ. And whether you're a preacher, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a school teacher, whether you're a coach, no matter what it is, you ought to be a soul-winning coach, a soul-winning teacher, a soul-winning businessman. You understand where I'm going with this? You have all these things going on the other side of the world. And it was a challenge to us. What we got to do was get up and preach and get up and teach. But we weren't the heroes. The Lord Jesus Christ is the hero. But those who were truly doing something for God, yes, it's us who flew and spent our time over there, but not really. The real heroes are those who were serving the rice afterwards. The real heroes were those who went out on their motorcycles and invited people from door to door or from school to school. And what it was is you saw a body of believers just coming together for one purpose,
And that purpose was to get the gospel to lost and dying people. And folks, as you heard just a little glimpse, when you're preaching through an interpreter, take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of John. Pause and let him say it. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, pause and let him say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish of everlasting life. Pause. Let him say it. There's a God in heaven who loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. Pause and let him say it. All these illustrations that are good in America, nothing wrong with that. But forget the illustrations when you go to the foreign field, friends. Because sometimes they'll look at you like this. What does that mean, you know? But you just give clear statements. You give the Word of God. And there's nothing like whenever he starts drawing the net and saying, if you'd like to learn more about Jesus, how you can be saved, would you raise your hand? And watching those dear people just start raising their hand. Would you stand to your feet? In the heathen world, you watch them stand to their feet unashamed and start leaving their places and flooding the altars, coming forward to learn more about Jesus Christ and asking God to save them and change their life. You never know what's going to happen with some of these people. And may I say this to you? If you gave for the birthday offering, the garage sale, yes, but also for the birthday offering, we gave heavily from the birthday offering. This church gave a little over $12,000 to Dr. Cherian for this meeting. $12,000. We were able to do that because you gave so much to the birthday offering. If you gave to that, or if you couldn't give, but you would have if you could have, you have a hand in everything that you just saw. Because without that, they wouldn't have been able to hire the buses. They wouldn't have been able to buy the food. It was all because of the sacrificial giving of you precious people. It's a blessing when people are praying, people are giving, people are going, people are preaching, people are counseling, people are setting up, people are feeding, people are driving. You see what I'm saying? When it all came together, 342 people prayed to receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. It still works, friends. It's still powerful. We just need to get it out more than we ever have. And I want to challenge this church to do more with the gospel than we ever have in our life. You know where that starts? With me. You know where that starts? With you. Let me do more than I ever have. Let you do more than you ever have. Let us do more than we ever have. And may the Lord win people to himself because of what this local church does. I'm so honored to be your pastor. I mean that. My wife and I love you folks very, very deeply. And we are serving the Lord with you. We're serving the Lord together. And let us do what he's given us to do. Now, as we come to a close, I'd just like to ask for somebody to come to the piano tonight. I never want to take a service for granted that everybody here is a born-again child of God. If you're here in this church service but you've never been saved, tonight is the night of salvation for you. Come and let us take a Bible and share the gospel message with you. Don't be a fool, but trust Jesus Christ. But I want to send a challenge out to the church. As I ask if you wouldn't mind to bow your head and close your eyes, I want to send a challenge out to the church as she begins to play through softly. How about you teenagers here tonight? What is God speaking to you about through this? These young people in Bible college got a burden for teenagers. And they went out and invited them. And a lot of them came. Let me tell you who the greatest people to build our teen program is. It's the teenagers. You have influence that Mr. Bob doesn't have with teens. I'm talking about those maybe you go to school with, those in your family. You're going to use your influence and get people to Jesus Christ? Why don't you teenagers come and pray and ask God to make you a gospel witness like you never have been in your life? Or maybe tonight God is speaking to some businessmen, some businesswomen, people like Sam, people like Dr. Cherian's cousin who has all that money. but yet he's serving Jesus. Maybe you as a businessman, businesswoman want to come. Maybe you want to come just to be willing to do anything to get the gospel to other people. Maybe that's drive a bus like those people did for this conference. Maybe that's make a meal and take it to somebody in need. You're willing to do something to get the gospel to other people. Is God speaking to you? Is God burdening you with a lost and dying world? Think about those faces you saw tonight. There are people like that in the Tri-Cities. They need to be saved. Their lives need to be changed. So as they play through, I'm going to pray, and as soon as I say amen, I want to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, but I want to open the invitation to you. If you'd like to come, I want you to come. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Thank you for this presentation. May thy will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you right now, would you get out of your seat? Would you come? Teenagers, businessmen, maybe teachers, maybe stay-at-home moms, maybe moms and dads, children, maybe somebody that needs a second chance like Christopher, maybe somebody who's kind of kicked the traces, but God's saying, I want to give you another chance. If God can use Christopher, he can use you. If he can use me, he can use you. Come talk to God about it. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. While folks are praying, I want you, if you're seated, to look up here just a moment. We're just about done. Occasionally throughout the year, we give you opportunities to be a witness. And one of those opportunities are upon us. It's this sweetheart dinner. Do this. We do this to be a blessing to our own people, sure, to give you a time to fellowship. But the purpose of this dinner is an outreach. If you have a couple, they don't have to be married. They may be living together. You say, well, do we want them here? Yes, we want them here. It's an outreach. Don't put the cart before the horse. You understand what I'm saying to you? You sign up. You get them here. And let's pray for the one who gives the gospel. It'll be clear, precise, powerful. And may they trust Christ through this. Hey, we're willing to feed them lasagna, Fazoli's breadsticks, cheesecake, give them a drink to get the gospel to them, share the gospel message. This is what it is. Those tickets are on sale tonight. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. May the Lord help you. I want to go ahead and dismiss those who are going to the cancer ministry meeting. If you're going to the cancer ministry meeting, let me go ahead and dismiss you to go to the chapel at this time. And if there's somebody who is doing the tickets outside and you're not there yet, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Roten are on their way. So if you're getting ready to go to that meeting and you need to buy one of those tickets, you go ahead and do that. Teens going to camp, your registration form and deposit is due tonight. Due tonight, teen registration form and deposit tonight. Okay, thank you for being here tonight. And let's go forward. Let's ask God to help us be back in God's house on Wednesday night. Let's pray for the Lord to be with us, okay? Brother Bob Daniels, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight just to